Please turn with me in your Bible then to Luke, Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. We're continuing our sermon series during the Christmas season on the characters of the Christmas drama. So last week we looked at the innkeepers, today we're looking at the shepherds, and up ahead, Lord willing, we'll look at Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20, reading from God's holy word. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. All these things, and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, this is your word of truth. It is truth in its entirety. No lies, no falsehood. We pray now that your spirit of truth would brood over us and work in us. Give us a spiritual understanding. Convict us of these truths. May we delight in them. May we walk in them. May we make Jesus known. These are living truths from a living God to be lived out in us. The living stones of the chief cornerstone, Jesus. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a remembrance of the events many years ago on a hillside outside of Bethlehem. I was a shepherd present on that most historic of all nights for mankind. It was also the night that forever changed my life and my relationship with God and my Messiah, Jesus. I was a young man at the time. I can't remember the exact time of the year, whether it was winter, spring, or fall. It doesn't really matter. Compared to knowing the person of Jesus, the exact date is just not that important. Also, our flocks lay out in the open all the year. Whether it's the hottest day of the year, the rainiest, or the coldest. That silent night was cool, as most nights are in the Judean highlands and around Jerusalem and Bethlehem. Bethlehem lies nestled in the hills. It's only 6 miles south of Jerusalem and unseen by the traveler until it's close at hand. For many days prior to that night, we had noticed an unusually high number of people walking by on the roads of Bethlehem and talking about a Roman census. People had to go to their ancestral home to be registered for taxation purposes. Some of you may wonder what we, as shepherds, were doing along the roadside between Jerusalem and Bethlehem. I know Jewish rabbinic law forbids the keeping of flocks throughout the land of Israel, except in the wilderness. The only flocks kept otherwise were those kept for the temple services. So you see, I was no ordinary shepherd. I was proud to be one of the shepherds who watched over the flocks of sheep destined for the temple sacrifices in Jerusalem. That's why we pastured our sheep along the road between Jerusalem and Bethlehem rather than in the wilderness. When I think back on the events that unfolded from that night to the present with regards to Jesus, I think of the significance of those sheep. We were shepherds keeping the sheep for the Passover. When that night the shepherd of my soul came in human form, who came to die, to give his life on a cross for mine, as my Passover lamb, the once for all sacrifice who took away the sins of the world, my sin, it still to this day overwhelms me. Please follow along in the bulletin with the outline provided as we look at the title today, Why Me, a Lowly Shepherd? What facts stand out in my mind that highlight that night? The first fact is we heard the good news. We heard the good news. Verses 8 through 14. Now there was in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel the multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." We were huddled by ourselves around our sheep. We were trying to stay warm. We were used to being by ourselves with the sheep and an occasional wolf who wanted a lamb for some food. Shepherds were outcasts of the society. We were regarded as dumb, just like our animals, unsophisticated, uneducated, poor, on the fringe of society and without rights. Did you know that our testimony was not even accepted in a court of law? We were regarded as unclean people. Oh, I don't just mean unclean because we smelled like sheep manure. I mean that we as shepherds, we were a despised group of people because we couldn't maintain all the rabbinic ceremonial washings. It's true we could not keep all those washings. Why? Because we were busy working. We were tending our sheep day and night, around the clock, day in and day out, with no days off. The sheep required constant, vigilant, never-ending care and watch. Sheep are a curious lot, you know. Unless they're under constant supervision and care, they're always wandering off. They get sidetracked, they get lost, injured, maimed, diseased, or killed. Since we had the responsibility of tending the sheep destined for the temple sacrifices, we had to present sheep that were perfect, without spot or blemish, to the temple priests. That night we were huddled together with the sheep, trying to stay warm, and suddenly, without warning, the whole sky seemed to light up. And an angel of the Lord said, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." To say we were afraid is an understatement. We were literally quaking in our sandals. I still remember that night and that event as if it was yesterday. That Christ child's birth was definitely an interruption on our schedule. That was a radical intrusion into our life. When God really changes a person, he's never the same after that life-changing interruption. The psalmist says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I could add the stops and interruptions are also. Friend, does your schedule allow for an interruption by God? Does your busy life anticipate divine appointments? Don't expect the sky to open up before your eyes, and don't expect an angel to speak to you before you'll stop and take time for God. I and the other unclean shepherds were the only ones to whom this occurred. God is certainly no respecter of persons. I kind of muse to myself now when I think back on that night, because initially only one angel spoke to us. But it was as if the other angels, they did not want to be left out. And they wanted to tell also the good news of Christ's birth. For they joined in and said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace toward men of goodwill." The glory of the incarnation, the Son of God taking on human flesh, descended from the heavenly realm to the earthly realm in the peace and goodwill. While you may think that chant is dead when you look around the world today, I and the other shepherds and followers of Jesus Christ know in our hearts otherwise. Peace and goodwill with God is only possible through Jesus Christ. The gospel means good news, and that good news is Jesus. Jesus is our Passover lamb. There is salvation in no other name under heaven given among men whereby men must be saved. Only Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Him. If you will confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you will believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Why me, a lowly shepherd? The first fact that stands out in my mind on that night is that we heard the good news. The second point is we went to see the good news. Look at verses 15 and 16. "So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." You know, I've been asked the question many times. Were you sure of what you saw that night? Or were you just tired and had an illusion? Was your mind just playing tricks on you? Anyone who asks that question just doesn't know much about the relationship between shepherds and sheep. No natural event on this earth could persuade any shepherd to leave his sheep. The sheep were our livelihood. To leave them defenseless in the middle of the night was just totally out of the question. That thought would never enter our minds. Only a supernatural event that heralded the momentous reality, the birth of our Savior, our Messiah, could persuade us to leave our sheep. And we didn't walk. Oh no. We ran. We ran as fast as we could. We made haste to see the Christ child. We did not doubt the word of the angels, for we immediately said, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." We made haste to get to Bethlehem, the city of David. And when we got there, it was swelled by registrants, those people that had gone to their ancestral city then to be registered by the census for taxation purposes. There were people all over. We knew that. It was a small town, though, and we had no difficulty finding the Christ child. We went to the inn in faith and found him in a cave by the inn. And it was just as the angel said. The Christ child was lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling cloths, with Mary, his mother, and Joseph. God's word is true. It's true in its entirety. God does not lie. The fulfillment of prophecy, friends, demonstrates the deity of Jesus. We've often been asked, "Well, why didn't you tell anyone about the good news of the angels before you saw the Christ child?" As I said, we didn't doubt the angel's words. We know that they were truth, that it was from God to us. But the truth is that we as angels keeping watch over our flocks by night, we were the only ones awake at that time to receive the good news of the Christ child's birth. Everyone else was sleeping. A few shepherds were the only people to worship the Christ child that first night with Mary and Joseph. Think of all the people who missed that first Christmas and have sensed that eventful night, such as the innkeeper. The innkeeper, he was ignorantly preoccupied with his business and the profit motive. The townspeople of Bethlehem and all the visitors that were there to be registered, they too were caught up in worldly affairs. Think of how close those people who stayed in the inn that same night were to Jesus, and yet they slept right through the most momentous event in all of history, that first Advent, that first Advent night, the coming of Jesus to this earth, when God became man to save his people from their sins. How sad it is to be so close to Jesus and yet so far from his kingdom. Are you awake to the things of God? Do you know the urgency of salvation in Jesus? Do you know that now is the accepted time? Now is the day of salvation? Do you know that there's no escape if you neglect the salvation that is in Jesus? Do you know that salvation is all of grace, that it's not of works? Are you looking for Jesus' second advent, his second coming, his soon return to this earth? Or will you be like the innkeeper and the residents of Bethlehem that slept right through that first advent, that first coming of Jesus? You know, I've spent my whole life since with one eye on earth and with one eye on heaven. For Christ said, in an hour, in such a time as you think not, he said, I will return. I put a little memento up of that night where I look back and I also look forward. That little memento on my wall says, perhaps today. The wonder of that first Advent sight is still fresh in my mind. Why would the God of all creation descend to us, lowly shepherds, the poor, the disenfranchised, the uneducated, the unsophisticated, the regarded unclean of society? Why didn't he come to the temple of Jerusalem, or to the king's palace in Caesarea, or to the Sadducees' mansions in Jerusalem? Friends, God chooses the foolish things of the world, the simple, the weak, the humble, to confound the wise and the mighty. Why does he do that? So that all the glory goes to God. I'm a shepherd, just a lowly shepherd, but I have worth. I have worth. I am created in God's image, and Jesus is mine. Why? Why do I have worth? Jesus said that he who humbles himself will be exalted, will be lifted up. All praise and honor goes to Christ my King, who though he was rich, yet for my sake he became poor, and through his poverty I am made rich. Yes, I have peace and goodwill to God because of Jesus my Savior, who was born in the city of David that night so very long ago. Why me a lowly shepherd? The first fact that stands out in my mind from that night is that we heard the good news. The second fact that stands out in my mind from that night is we went to see the good news. And the third point that stands out in my mind from that night is we told others about the good news. Verses 17 through 20. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. There's no way in this world that life-changing good news can be kept to yourself. You have to go and tell others. You have to go and tell others. After seeing the Christ child, the Messiah, the Savior, the ultimate good news that night, I and the other shepherds had a fire in our hearts, burning in our bones, and we just could not keep quiet, even if we wanted to. We did not care if society said we were not to be heard. We made known everything we had heard from the angels and everything we had seen that first Advent night. You know, we were the first evangelists of the Christian church. We ought to obey God rather than men. We glorified and praised God continually since that night for the life-changing, radical good news that He gave us. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Did you know, friend, there are three attitudes that I've noticed in people with regards to the good news of Jesus: the attitude of a messenger, the attitude of a marveler, and the attitude of a mediator. First, the attitude of a messenger. That's the attitude that I and the other shepherds have. We've seen and heard the Word of God, and we desire to go and tell others. We function as apostles, sent ones by God. Real religion goes and tells others. Second, the attitude of a marveler. Now, this is a good attitude if you don't just marvel only. Some people just marvel, wonder, awe, and reverence, and they stop there. There were many people who we told the good news to after that first night. That's exactly what they did, and that's all that they did. They just wondered that of all people, a shepherd should be people that were so outspoken about the things of God. They listened. They were curious. They wondered. But they never believed what we told them in their heart. And because of that, they are still lost in their sin and outside of Jesus to this day. The third is the attitude of a mediator. Mediator. We as shepherds have often marveled at the attitude of Mary at the baby's Jesus side. She seemed to take all these momentous events and to ponder them in her heart. She must have had some really deep thoughts to think that she, a poor earthly virgin teenage girl, had been chosen by God to give birth to the Christ child. I have thought these three attitudes of a messenger, a marveler, and a mediator, each of these attitudes should be thought of as a circle for a true follower of Jesus Christ, the Savior. The wonder of it all leads to meditation, to seriously ponder upon God's Word, and by His Spirit then to apply it to your own lives as a living truth. And that meditation then leads to being a messenger, a sent one of God, which is further fanned then by the wonder of it all that God should choose a sinner such as me. What's your attitude toward the Savior today? Oh, the wonder of it all that God chose me, a shepherd, to be His own sheep through Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who was born to take away the sin of the world. Why me, a lowly shepherd? When I think back on that first coming, that first Advent, three facts stand out in my mind. We as shepherds heard the good news, we went to see the good news, and we told others about the good news. You know, in talking to many fellow shepherds over the years about the good news and the words of Jesus, I marvel at the number of references in Scripture that Jesus made in His speeches to shepherds and sheep. Jesus described Himself as the good shepherd, as contrasted with a hireling shepherd. Jesus said that he alone was the entrance to the sheepfold. And we shepherds know there's only one entrance to a sheepfold. And Jesus talked many times about his followers being like sheep. And they were sent out in the midst of wolves to be wise as serpents, innocent as doves. One time a shepherd interrupted me. And he says, "Is the good news in a sheep book?" Now that's a good thought. One thing I know about being a shepherd knows all his sheep by name. There's a young shepherd boy around Bethlehem. Did you know that he has 125 sheep? And he calls them all by name. The sheep know his voice, and they come to the shepherd. One time, you know what I did? I took his clothing, his outer garment. I took that teenager's staff, and I tried to mimic his voice as close as I could. And I stood before the sheep, and I called each of them by name. Do you know what happened? Not one of them moved. Not one of them moved at all. Because I was a complete stranger to them. They did not know me. The sheep know the shepherd's voice, and they follow him. Just as the shepherd knows his sheep by name. Jesus is my good shepherd, and he knows me by name. That's a real assurance to me as I look forward someday to being with him in heaven. Of the shepherds there that first night, I am left. Some will say to me the events of that night seem to be largely forgotten now and without seeming momentous effect on the world. It was like a rock you'd throw into the Sea of Galilee that makes a ripple for a time and then dies out. How do you answer those kinds of questions? I simply reply, the fading of impression does not imply the lack of reality. The record is given and substantiated through hundreds and hundreds of eyewitnesses to Jesus' birth, life, death, resurrection, post-resurrection appearances, and words as to the truthfulness of my part on that first Advent night. I have not told you a cleverly devised fable, but I saw and heard the power of coming of God to this earth. I witnessed the majesty of God in the face of Jesus Christ, my Savior. Born to die that man might live, came to earth new life to give. Born of Mary, born so low many years ago, God the Father gave his Son, gave his own beloved one to this wicked, sinful earth to give mankind his love new birth. Tell the world, yes, tell the world, Christ the Savior lives today as he did so long ago. I leave you with this truth. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereby you do well that you take heed in your heart, as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star, Jesus Christ, arise. Friends, as that light shined in that Bethlehem sky so many years ago, one day it will shine for all the world to see, not telling of a baby in a manger, but of a king for a throne. Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word of truth. The Christmas story seems so familiar to many of us, but dear Heavenly Father, these truths should be more and more alive, more and more real as we become more and more like Christ. I pray that each one of us, dear Heavenly Father, that has Jesus in our hearts, that we, dear Heavenly Father, experience the joy of the season, and we feel compelled, an urgency to tell others that the Savior has come. And through his act of obedience to your law his voluntary death on a cross, he saves his people from their sins. And dearly Father, I pray for each one here today that does not have Jesus as Savior. I pray that your Spirit would move. I pray that your Spirit would convict in hearts, dearly Father, that they take out that heart of stone, make it a heart of flesh, give a new spirit, a new will, dearly Father, that they'd be humbled before you, and they'd cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And dearly Father, you would raise them up in Christ, that they would experience for the first time in their life what real joy, true joy is. And dearly Father, they'd be rejoicing in your mercy and your grace to them in Jesus. And they too would be just like the shepherds of long ago, that they would go tell it on a mountain that Jesus Christ is born. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.